Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joydenader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am excited to have Cara Brown, an award-winning watercolor artist and teacher, as my guest today. Join us for 30 minutes of inspiration to go for your dreams and encouragement to live your music in your own unique ways. Welcome, Cara.
Thank you, Mara Joy. I'm so happy to be here. it's a little thrilling. I mean, it's a lot thrilling and a little nerve-wracking. This is my first live radio.
Aww. Well, I am so excited to have you on the show. I've been wanting to have you on to introduce you to my listeners ever since I first met you at the Marin Open Studios last year. So this is something I've been wanting to do for a whole year, but for some reason it just seemed like there was all these other things that got in the way of asking you to be on. And so then when we saw you at the Marin Open Studios this year, again, oh my gosh, I just had to have you on. I just love your art, and I love the energy that you exude when you talk to the people that come in to see your art. It's just so fantastic.
I am so
blown away by what you can do with watercolors. I mean, even if it was with oils or with acrylics or something like that, it would be hard enough, but my goodness, I've tried watercolors years ago, and it is not easy to even make it look like a painting, much less to do what you do. So
it is a wild medium. It is, and it sort of has a mind of its own, and it's what I know, and it's also I wrote in my post that's going up today that it's home for me. You know, painting and watercolor is home. I've tried other mediums or media, and they're just, it's like, oh, this isn't it. I'm a watercolorist in my heart and soul. So thank you.
Well, you know, I have always absolutely loved watercolor paintings that I would see. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorites as far as the expression of the media. And I don't know, it's just fantastic. My grandmother used to paint with oil paints, and she wanted so much for me to be an artist. That was what she wanted me to do. And I used to love to go visit her and watch her squish around the oil paints and make the different colors. That part was fun. But I didn't really like when she had me try to make a painting out of it. And then it was with her that I also tried the watercolors. But I realized then that, oh my gosh, watercolors are so such a challenge. You definitely have to be willing to practice a lot in order to do that. So tell us a little bit about how did you come to be an artist?
Well, I'm not one of those people who has been making art since I was a little kid, though I did what, you know, I colored in coloring books and all of that. But I loved math and science when I was growing up, and have a computer science degree, and I worked in the tech industry for 20 years. And somewhere along in there, I took a watercolor class in my 30s and loved it, but it just didn't grab me. My life was too pulled in another direction. And I ended up being single and living abroad for half a year. And then when I came home and met the love of my life, my husband, Joe, there's something settled down inside me, and I picked it up again. And I was a hobbyist. I was still working in the tech world. But the thing that had me jump into it with both feet was a big disappointment. I ended up not being able to have kids. And I just was, that was just unthinkable. Like, it's just what I was meant to be a mother. So I wanted something else besides working in the tech world in San Francisco and going to political meetings that were just a bunch of, you know, things that, anyway, I won't swear, but didn't mean anything to me. And And I actually, it was a prayer. It was, God, give me the energy to adopt or give me something else. And by then I'd worked my way out of tech and into doing real estate with my mom. She's been a real estate agent in Marin for decades. And I had a client who was an artist who invited me to do Marin Open Studios in 2007. And that opened the door. I had no idea what was in me. I mean, I knew I was painting and I knew I had this, but having an audience, having people respond to my work and coming up with opportunities, more opportunities to show it, like at local street fairs and the like, it's like, this is what I was meant to do. And so I have almost no art training. I've taken a few, you know, adult ed classes and workshops, but it's all been because I've been determined to figure out how this medium works and to make art that would please me and even you know, sort of astonish me. Because it does take the patience,
does,
and it does
please
take
and
practice.
Astonish me, I'll tell you. I have some samples of your work in the slideshow for the show, but that is just such a miniature amount of what you can really do. And then to be able to see the paintings in person and how large they are. It's not just that you do them, but they're so, some of them are so huge too.
Yeah, they are. there was something in me that wanted to have an immersive, have and offer an immersive experience of the aliveness of whatever it is that I saw that inspired me to paint it, because that's my experience, is that I go about my life and my travels and things tell me, paint me, you know, like the pastry or the flower or the cluster of grapes, you know, it's like it just jumps out and says, I need to be a painting. So I want that experience to be amplified. You know, it's also easier to paint big. Painting small, because I'm drawn to do things that are rather complex, when you're painting really small, I feel like I'm in a straitjacket having to make all these little tiny marks. And so when you paint big, you got a little more room to kind of stretch out your brush and do more. So
that is really fascinating. I'd never thought of it that way, but you're right. When you're having all those details, if it was a small painting, there would be like little minuscule places that you'd have to paint in. Oh my gosh, that's interesting.
And it works the other way too, and that is, if you have a big painting, for me, it has to have a certain amount of complexity to it. It has to have a story to tell in order to command that much space. So, you know, it goes that way too. So.
Oh. Yeah,
but I did one of my puppy, and it's a little painting. And it's just zoomed into his face, kind of buried in the grass, and he was 12 weeks old, and it's this adorable face. And I only made it 11 by 15 because if I'd made it really big, it would have been frightening instead of cute. You know what I mean? It's like this big, huge puppy face, and I don't know. It just like. The paintings do, they tell me. They tell me I need to be square. I need to be long and skinny. You know, it's really felt for me. It's not, I don't have art training, so I don't have anybody who's ever told me how to do composition. It's just been kind of like a thing that just, it's kind of an intuitive process.
Well, you know, it's so funny to hear you say that, because I remember my grandmother had talked me into being an art major when I was going to junior college, West Valley College, and down in Saratoga. And I was doing it because I didn't know what else to do. And I took drawing classes and design classes. And you know, they were kind of interesting, but I was terrified to have them critique the work. You know, I mean, that whole thing was just scary. And then, you know, I remember Julia Cameron talking about artists teaching other artists and how sometimes they can be so critical of you that you end up not being able to do your art. And so that's one of the things I'd like to talk to you about next, is how was it that you started teaching others to paint?
I was asked the very first time I ever showed at Open Studio, do you teach? And I was terrified. I was terrified because I had no, because I have no training. I had no idea what an art teacher would do. I thought it needed to be structured and assignments and organized and the workshops I'd taken. But I just knew that that wasn't the kind of teacher I was meant to be. So it was about 4 years after that that I finally did convene my first group. And it was after a woman who hounded me for a full year. Begged me. And finally she just said, can I just come to your house and paint with you? And I said, sure, that sounds like fun. So we did. And what happened when she arrived with her project was that all of this information came out of me in response to her questions. And I realized, oh, I guess I do know more than I think I do. And so what I have going now are, I don't call them classes, or I call them groups, because there, it's self-directed, it's self-study. If you are hungry to learn to paint, then you're for me. But because the energy for the painting, the inspiration for what's to come out of you, has to come from you, the student. I have tried trying to put inspiration into someone, and I found it doesn't work. So What I say to people is, everything you're going to learn from me, you're going to pull out of me. You're going to say, I don't like the way this is going. Help me. I want this to look like this instead of what it does. How can I make this look like this? But the vision for each student's painting is theirs, because I figure I have no clue what the art that's in them is supposed to look like. I know something about this medium, and I'm here to help with the skills. And I also realized that what I had no idea I was really good at was creating a safe environment and holding the space for people's creative process. Because it's noisy in our heads when we're making art.
Oh,
you know.
Yes.
I love that. And so what I try to do is normalize that. Say, I still have a noisy head, and I've painted, I'm close to 100 big paintings, and
I know,
in the last, 13 years, so it's,
that's a lot of practice, that's a lot of focus
and
practice, and I mean, that brings us to the point of, though, one of the points I want to make is that you were willing to focus and practice, and that's how you got so good at what you were doing, because even if you have an innate skill or talent for it or a love for it, if you're not willing to practice, then you're not going to get really good at whatever you do. And I think that's one of the things I see so often with people, is that they think, oh, I'll try this, and then if they can't do it really well right away, they think they're no good at it. And that's, I think, one of the things that you're bringing to light here, is that it's not, you know, you're not supposed to be able to do it immediately. If it was something, you know.
Yeah, you're right. It's so true. There's no getting over your first paintings. You have to paint them, you know. I mean, you should see my early work. There's no shades, no signs of what was to come in it. None.
Oh, I would love to.
You know, they're early paintings. They're early paintings. And so the thing, I did this kind of audacious thing earlier this spring. I'm kind of a closet Christian, and I'm not a Christian in the way that most people think of Christians. You know, what it means to be a Christian, it's very personal. It's extremely progressive. It's extremely out there. But
okay.
I love the Beatitudes, and I rewrote them for artists. They're in my blog. And one of the ones is those, I don't know, the one that Jesus said was something about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those. And I say, blessed are you who are hungry to make art. It is the most important thing, because it's what gets you through. It gets what gets you practicing. It's what gets you through your early work. It's the, I want to know how to do this. It's the energy. It's the fuel for becoming, and without it, I don't know how you do it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have never heard of those before. I had grown up with, you know, long story, but, you know, getting to the point where I wanted to be an atheist in high school, and then getting into when our son was born in 1990, starting to go, how do I teach him about, what do I think about God? What do I think about spirituality? And starting to look at what I believed. And for the closest things, Wayne Dyer always said that, you know, when you try to organize spirituality into religion, that's when it's like, mine's right, yours is wrong, whatever. But it sounds like you're creating it in a way where it's, you're using it to inspire other people, and that's fantastic.
Well, there's a like a river that flows in the under part of my life. You know, what I do on the surface looks very ordinary, and there's this other side of it that I am an absolute voracious spiritual seeker, and I can't help myself. And one of the things that has fed me is learning about people who are out on the edge of the Christian path, because it is the one that feels most home to me, just like watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's been nothing in any church I've found that like, okay, this is, I mean, I did go to church for a while, but when our minister left, I had to leave too, because it all was okay. Now I'm back to translating. Anyway, but I'm not overt about it because people think weird things about it, but I find it's really practical. Like this, you know, if you hunger for what's good,
mm-hmm.
then good things are going to come your way. So
oh, I love that. So now
anyway.
You also write a weekly art journal, a blog on your website. When and why did you start doing that?
I have a business coach, and she challenged me because I had this story in my head that I wasn't disciplined and that I wouldn't do it. And so I started on October 1st, 2014, and I have not missed a week. It goes up on Wednesdays, and it's over 1,000 words, and it ranges from stories about my life to I've been in a little bit of kind of art teacher mode lately. I was in this spiritual mode earlier this spring. So it ranges. It's all, I try to keep it around the orientation of where art and life and sometimes spirituality meet, because I do think that there's so many kind of crossovers, you know, there's so many connections. What is it? Find your strengths. I'm also a junkie for spiritual psychological systems and categorizations, you know, like not just astrological types, but your Myers-Briggs and Enneagram and all that. And my number one strength in the Strengths Finder is connection. And I am a connector. I connect dots between things, between ideas, between people. And I love connection. I see it everywhere.
Too.
So,
I do too. You're just giving me chills. It's like I can see why I'm so attracted to your work and to you as a person, because that's exactly how I feel about it too, about being a connector and connecting people and things and ideas and connecting. Yeah, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I did look at your blog journal on your website, and it was really cool. I want to go back and read some of the older ones too now, but I jumped around and it. People can find that at your website, right? And that's it. What is your website? Do you want to tell them
it's
what it
life
is?
It's lifeinfullcolor.com.
I love that.
So,
I love that, too, that lifeinfullcolor.com. Wow.
Well, I have life coach training, and when I first started my business, I went to CTI, and I did CTI coach training and their leadership program, and I was going to be a life coach. That's what I was absolutely going to do the year I started showing my art, and then the art just eclipsed it. So it was a name that was going to be both, you know, living a life in full color, both as a coach and as a as an artist. So, but the coaching as officially is by the wayside. For me, that takes the form of teaching and being the guide for people in their spiritual process, in their art creative process.
Oh, I love that. I really love that. I remember reading that in your bio and thought about that because of I'm doing coaching also, but it's one of the things that I do. It's not the only thing I do, and I don't take it as a really, you know, I would definitely not want to be a business coach. For me, it's about helping people love their life and, like you said, live their life in full color. I love that.
Well, I'm an artist. I work in color, and you're a musician, and you live your music. So we're really sisters in some way here.
Oh, totally. You know, before we ran out of time, I want to ask the questions for the people listening so they can be thinking about what music they have in them. And so I'll ask those questions, and then we'll get back to talking. Okay, everyone out there, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, and you know, your paintings, Kara, show us and remind us of how amazing and how beautiful life can be. I just can't say enough about your art. Got one of your calendars over here to my right, and I'm looking at one of the beautiful paintings of flowers over there, and I've got your card where it says watercolorist teacher is right here on my desk, and I love that it turns over and it's got that big clock on the back, and then it's got these watercolors on the front. Everything that you've done is so beautiful. And in fact, I'm drinking water out of one of your mugs that we got that are just, me, these are treasures. And it has the flowers and the kind of magentas and greens and a bee on it. And they have become my favorite tall latte mugs for the morning while I'm doing my morning pages. And we're having water in while I'm doing my show. It's just, you know, so you've been with me a lot during the last year in those ways. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to your heart and living your music. And to me, living your music, it means, like Wayne Dyer always said, don't die with your music still in you. It's what you feel called to do. It's your heart's desires. Those, a lot of times the heart's desires, like Emmett Fox said, it's a lot of times it's what you're so scared to do because it's so important to you that you're afraid to even tell anybody about it. For me, that was singing. Definitely singing was that. But so was art kind of that way for you? It sounds like you were working in the technical businesses for a while. And
I didn't know. You know, honestly, I didn't know that this was where I was headed until I had that big disappointment. And it's one of the things that I have come to understand. I don't like it, but it seems that being in a body, in a physical existence on this earth, means that we will suffer, and that suffering is often very purposeful. To let your heart free, it often has to break first, and I just wish it were the case that I would have just walked along and said, you know, this really isn't a very satisfying life. I think I'll change and become an artist. But it didn't. You know, I think there's a certain inertia, and at least for me, you know, and it took my coming to terms with that grief. And that grief never goes away. It sits on my shoulder like a little, like a lookout, you know, and I don't know what the word is, but and it makes sure that I'm not going to cave in and not live my music. You know, it's like, you remember? I'm here. You didn't get to do this.
Wow.
So
what
so
do you
I
feel
back
it means to live your music? Why don't you tell us what you think about that it means for you?
Well, there's a line of Mary Oliver from her poem, The Wild Geese. It's right at the beginning that says, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk through the desert for 100 miles on your knees repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. It's that. It's letting yourself love what you love. Because you're born with what you love. Mm-hmm. I love fuchsia pink. I can't love army green the same way. It just isn't, I can't choose it. We don't choose what we love. So to live my music is to let myself love what I love. And
I love that.
And act accordingly. You know what I mean? And live from there.
Oh,
I think that's what I'm meant to do.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, that's exactly what my book's about, is figuring out who you are, because that took me a long time to figure out who I was. I was a people pleaser.
Me too.
I was totally a people pleaser, and I was trying to be who everyone else wanted me to be, and believing people when they said, oh, that's too hard, or you can't do that, or you shouldn't sing, or you shouldn't do this, or you should do art. I'm shitting on you all over the place. And, you know, it takes a while to, you have to all of a sudden have something happen like I did that I don't have time to get into, but I talk about it in my book, that where you finally go, oh my God, that's what I need to do. I need to be me. And then, okay, who the hell is me? What am I about? What really matters to me? What do I love? You know? So, you know, that's what I want for people. I want people to listen to these shows, read my book, whatever they do, and love what they do. Let themselves love what they do, like you just said. You said it so beautifully. We only have 3 minutes left. What other advice do you have for our listeners?
Cultivate patience. It's a hard thing to do, and I don't have it mastered by any stretch of the imagination. I always want to be, you know, so many steps ahead of where I am. But it is, I think that there's a lot of expectation in the world of living your dreams that it might have, you know, you want it to happen now. And it is a process, you know, to get there. You do have to know, but it's like that whole, you know, you have to be oriented in the direction of you. So you have to know what that is before you can actually go forth, because otherwise you're going to end up in not necessarily where you want to. So patience is a big thing. And the other thing is that I can't imagine doing this without people who are my tribe, you know, who are my companions. And they may not be doing exactly what I'm doing, but I've always had a handful of people who, you know, I can just dump whatever's going on with me and hold that and hold me. And I do the same for them, because it's, you know, those companions that keep me from being too hard on myself.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, and I have those people in my life too, and I'm so grateful for them. And I hope that's the things I hope to be for people is that same thing, and believing eyes and encouraging and inspiring to them to go for it, give it a try, be willing to fail.
And that's the other thing is that it, you know, even, you know, like there's no wrong steps. You know,
I know.
It's like when you're learning to paint, you know, everything you do is the next step in the process of learning what works and what doesn't work with watercolor. That's, I mean, you cannot learn to paint watercolor without having it go wrong. So
true.
It's coming to terms with how you don't ever want it to go wrong, and it will, and it's becoming more comfortable with that. So it's like, oh, okay. And being kind with, right, and being kind with yourself when you're hard on yourself too. I mean, like, you know, and I love this that I learned from Alison Armstrong. What if nobody's misbehaving, including me? So it's just cultivating that. And nothing happens, no big transformation happens really fast. Sometimes I think we'll have big shifts, but those big shifts happen after a lot of kind of quiet under the surface work, and then you can kind of pop up. But
so true. You know, we're out of time. I can't believe it. It went
wow,
so fast.
That went
I've
fast.
Got to have you on again sometime. Thank you so much for being on my show today. Thank you for all of your paintings and for what you're doing to make the world a more beautiful and more a place full of love and color.
Well, thank you, and you're so welcome, and I so appreciated this opportunity. I've loved this. It's been fun, and I'd be on again in a minute. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening and sharing this time with us. Thank you, and go out there and live your music, everyone. Bye for now. Bye, Cara.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.